of compliance with Wisconsin open meetings law.
Yes, we are in compliance. The meeting was posted on May 26th and May 31st.
Thank you. Number two, feature program, Choose Health, Food, Fun, and Fitness.
Doesn't that sound great? You're all excited now, aren't you? I'm going to turn it over to Terry Ward, our Racine Kenosha Nutrition.
Can we go around the room and introduce ourselves for our new youth and governance?
Yes, let's do that. That would be great.
No, I'll start with Teddy.
Great, good. So everyone in the room knows, I'm Teddy Winnett, Director of Kenosha County UW Extension.
I am Steve Bostrom, Supervisor of the 8th District. And if you don't know where that's at, the spot drive-in is almost in the middle of my district. Everybody knows where the spot is.
Where's the spot?
Come on down. Come on down.
Well, I'm Michael Miles, and I'm obviously part of the Youth and Governance Program.
Welcome. I'm Terry Ward. I'm the Administrator for the Nutrition Education Program, and we work in both Kenosha and Racine counties, as a reminder to some and new to those of you who did not know that.
Mike Sikolinski, County Supervisor, District 19.
Erin Decker, County Board Supervisor, Chairman of this committee, District 22.
John Poole, District 20, Vice Chair.
Jill Gilmore, District 18.
Barb Larson, Horticulture Educator.
Bethany Searcy, 4-H Program Assistant.
Cindy Armstrong, Teaching Coordinator and Educator with the Nutrition Education Program.
Nicole Leibski, Nutrition Educator.
Felix Asmoni, Youth and Governance.
Thank you. So I will turn it over to Terry to lead the feature program.
Excellent. Thanks, Teddy. So you all have this sheet in front of you. It's two-sided, and I'm going to speak to a few of the points just because we have some of you, most of you, have had little experience, and I wanted to share a few more details and overview about the Nutrition Education Program. As a reminder, we are 100% federally funded. We work in both Racine and Kenosha counties. We receive approximately $750,000 worth of essentially two federal grants. We employ 11 team members, and we make just over 8,000 teaching contacts last fiscal year. So we do a lot of education. Our target audience is at least 50% low and limited resource individuals. And you'll see under that why, it's because that population has pretty high rates, and it's actually, the rates are in disparity with long-term chronic food-related disease. So most of that's preventable by changes in diet and the amounts of physical activity that learners engage in. So our job is to support the food share funds, the WIC funds, or the free and reduced lunch funds that are spent by the federal government and provide education. So you've probably heard me say this before, the SNAP Ed grant gives people a fish and we teach them how to fish. We focus on basic nutrition information, what we call food resource management skills. So how to still get all those nutrients, but also save money on a person's food bill or a family's food bill. And we also teach some basic food safety, because if food isn't safe, it's not healthy. So that's sort of rule number one for us. If you look at the table at the top of this handout, you will see some comparisons in health metrics that show where Kenosha County stands in relation to the state of Wisconsin. As you can see, we either match or are higher on multiple negative health metrics. And so the why is pretty much plain right here. We have a lot of work to do in our county. The best way to make substantial change is to address these challenges on multiple levels, and I feel our program does a pretty amazing job at that for a couple different reasons. One is we use learner-centered and evidence-based curricula that focuses on the age group that we're teaching. So although we teach everyone from preschoolers through seniors, we have certain groups we do more education with. You'll get an overview of that as you learn more about our program, and we'll do a feature program tonight that will show you a curriculum that we use in our after-school and summer programming. That's the Choose Health Food, Fun, and Fitness. The lessons and objectives are laid out on the back of this one-page handout that you have. We're not going to do all of this tonight by any means, but I brought a couple of our heavy lifters here who do this education multiple times with youth all over both counties, and they're pros at it. So they do a wonderful job. They're going to give you some snippets of what a typical lesson might involve. And on that note, under the how we do the education, really all of extension is about engaging learners. So we prefer active participation. We like to engage people at various levels and find that when we interact with them and listen as well as teach, that seems to be a better method for getting our participants involved in the education. So what you'll see tonight is going to ask you to, the educators will ask you to participate. And that will be a common theme throughout the extension education meetings, as that's kind of a shared theme in extension. So I touched on the notion that our educators use research and evidence-based curricula. It's approved by state specialists from UW-Madison Department of Nutritional Sciences. We have direct access to state specialists in food safety and training and development. And all of our education is based on fields of learning and developmental science. So again, we use strategies that work for preschoolers on preschoolers and strategies that work for seniors on seniors. So that's sort of our program in a nutshell. We'll probably have some time at the end, I would guess, after the featured program that these two are going to walk through for us. So if you have questions, you please all also always feel free to shoot me an email or call me anytime if you want some specific data based on your area or just Kenosha County. We usually provide statistics that are for both programs because we do an awful lot of reporting, but let us know. And on that note, I'll introduce Cindy and Nicole. And I just want to say a couple words about each one of these ladies. Cindy is our teaching coordinator. She was doing that job already for quite some time before she was officially promoted. So she is our organizer. She does an awesome job with supporting our educators and works with lots of different audiences in our community. Nicole Leipsky has just recently joined our team. We've been building our capacity to reach parents because, as we like to say, the kids don't buy the groceries. So we want to get the parents involved, learning the principles and using them in addition to our in-school education. Nicole came to us from Gateway, where she, Parkside, my apologies, where she was a recruiter for first-generation students. She's done a tremendous job with her outreach skills, connecting with community partners and individuals to help them feel welcome and participate in this education. So without further ado, I will turn it over to the pros.
Good, great to be here. So again, this curriculum, Choose Health, Food, Fun, and Fitness, is geared for third, fourth, and fifth graders in an after-school or summer program setting. So has to be hands-on, has to be interactive, has to be sort of fun, and yet teach lessons. So therein lies the challenge. All of the lessons, so there's six lessons in this, if you look at the teaching objectives on the back. All the lessons have an anchor that start off the lesson, so that helps us as learners connect to the topic. We can also use that same anchor as a bridge to, let's say last week I had done a lesson with the kids on Eat Your Colors. We might start out with an anchor that helps take the, like, what new fruit or vegetable did you eat this week? And we might might have an anchor that's built in an activity, similar to what you're going to do in a minute, built around having it bridge from one week to the next. Today we're going to use that same anchor, our beanbag pass around, and I'm going to have you all use this as something to get to know each other. Like, I've already forgotten several of your names, but now I'm not only going to get a chance to practice your name, but I'm going to find out what fruit you love to eat and what vegetable you love to eat. So there are 12 people without me, so I would like 6 in this side of the room and 6 in that side of the room, and spread it out. We don't want all extension educators in one corner. So youth, put yourself one in each group, please.
The youths.
Okay.
I guess we're going this way.
If you end up in that time to go.
Okay, you get that here.
I get
this.
And Terry's over there. So I'm coming this way. You're going to kind of circle or rectangle yourselves.
Actually, we're going to kind of make a little circle.
Yep, a little circle.
Okay.
All right, we need one of those.
We need one of those. They have 7.
Oh, oh.
So I'm just going to go ahead and say my name. And then I'm going to go and say a favorite vegetable.
Supervisor Bostrom.
And then we'll do the fruit.
We need an extra person over here. We're still learning to count. It's
okay. For full disclosure, I was the first
person. Actually, we'll blame Bethany.
What do y'all collect?
Extension in one corner. I was
so
moving.
Bar's going to start the first one. And
so I'll go ahead and start.
I'm
so
I
like,
and my favorite fruit, is not the vegetable one.
Okay.
Pick your favorite of today, of this moment. It's hard to decide.
I'm Bethany.
I like strawberries.
I'm Terry, and I.
That doesn't qualify. You better spit one out quick.
I
got a whole list of my
favorites. I hate blueberries.
I'm John.
You're Terry Tree. Cherry.
That was going to be mine. Now, it's my favorite. It's apples.
Okay.
You can
happy.
Come in this
one.
Okay. Well, I can see one.
We're going to do this way this time. We're going to do vegetables. So.
Okay.
You already know.
Start
the
vegetable
one.
Let's
make it hard. My favorite vegetable
is asparagus.
Okay, Mike, broccoli.
You can
say
that.
Come on, let's go. This is not a quiz.
Red pepper.
I'm Steve, so I love corn.
I would have to go with Jill. I like
strawberry
beans.
Broccoli.
I thought we were skipping that part. I don't know. Vegetables.
When we start calling you back.
No, I'll collect now, and you can stay right where you are.
It's going to be
the slow brew.
So slow folks.
Orange chocolate.
Excellent. Okay.
Good.
Colors too.
Good.
So you can see how just this simple activity kind of gets us energized, gets us involved in the topic. I heard Nicole go into her educator mode. She was talking about the variety of colors she heard. So you can see how simple activities help kids and adults feel like, hey, I already know something about fruits and vegetables. I'm kind of an expert already. Stay right where you are, but what I'm going to do now is give each group either a sweet or a salty bag. So I'm transferring to, if you were looking at this sheet, one of our lessons is read it before you eat it. And it might be a third, fourth, fifth grader's first exposure to looking at the nutrition facts label and finding out what sorts of things are on there. So we're going to have you reach in and pull out one label, and then as a group you're going to put yourself in order. So the salty group will go low to high by how many milligrams of sodium or salt are in each package. Now this is an easy one because it's a single serve, so it's pretty simple. And what you'll do, even if you get a bigger bag, is you'll just look at the milligrams that it lists for the one serving, even though I could eat this whole bag at one serving. We're not going to pay attention to that yet, but it is part of that. If we were doing this as an hour-long lesson, just this one topic, we would get into that. And it would become very evident that a lot of people do that. And then it involves math skills to figure out what you're really eating, which our fifth grade teachers really love it when we reinforce math skills as part of our fun games and show the usefulness of math skills. So again, each group's going to get a bag. You are going to pick a label and put yourself from low to high. And then stop there and I'll tell you your next direction.
Yep.
If you don't like that one, there's a better bag.
So we're going to line up, we're going to pass the bag, and then we'll all arrange ourselves per serving size.
And sugar?
No.
Actually, we're going to look at, we're on the sugars. We have the sugar bag. We're going to look at the sugars.
So should I do 10 servings, right?
Yep.
So it's 100. So I'm maxing out at 100. Yeah. I can eat this box.
So if this was a group of energetic young children, we wouldn't do probably have so much going on. We would break this into, let's first start and do some salty labels, and then we'll move to sweet labels. We would have to keep that a little more separate for our younger learners. But even just as adults, you found plenty to talk about. You found not only what I asked you to look for, but your brain went to, well, wait, there's more than one serving in this, but I'd probably eat this whole bag. And then I heard the salty group talking about sugars, and it's kind of healthy in this group, not in that. So go ahead, because they haven't had a chance to hear about your packages. Just hold it up, tell them what numbers you have. And you can use,
this is my single serve.
Uh-huh.
It has 6 grams of sugar. It actually has 125 milligrams of sodium.
Okay, so we can look at sodium, and when we teach sodium for all our learners, we talk a little bit about the number of milligrams and things, but we also try to help them to look across at the percent daily value, which isn't on the sugars, but it is on the salt. So your percent daily value is
5%.
Okay. So
she could eat 20 of those bags.
And then
for
she's good for
the
tomorrow.
Then it would go out of my carbohydrates and my dietary fibers.
Rich.
Yep.
Guidelines.
Yeah. But that tiny little bag of chips
is 190 calories.
Yep. So, all right, moving on up our line.
Good golly.
I have single-serve Doritos. This bag is certainly not big enough for me, but it is my favorite flavor. 200 milligrams of sodium, but only 140 calories, believe it or not. Sugars, 2 grams.
All right. Thank you.
Awesome. I've got like the Munchies cheese mix, and there's 200 milligrams of sodium, and there's 1 gram of sugar. It's like 140 calories.
I've got the single serving of veggie straws. It does have a little protein, which I could have liked. The sodium, of course, to make veggie taste worth anything. It was 250.
Very good. That's a good top. That's a. If a child had said that, I would have said, you're right. One of the reasons why manufacturers put salt in our foods, they want it to taste good.
Yeah, that's why you put it on a water bottle.
Yeah. Huh?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think so.
And it only has 1 gram of sugar, but it has 11 grams of carbs. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's potato.
Good.
Go figure.
Good. I got the nacho cheese bugles.
Nacho cheese.
Weighing in. Okay, this is 4 servings, this entire bag, and each serving contains 300 milligrams of sodium, which is 13% of your daily allowance. So if you only ate half the bag, which would probably be reasonable in my home, not by me, by others, 28% of your daily sodium is what you'd be getting.
Uh-huh.
And I have Flamin' Hot Funyuns.
Flamin' Hot Funyuns.
And there are 370 milligrams of sodium, which is 16% of the daily allowance.
Uh-huh.
And 170 calories, but less than 1 gram of sugar.
So it is hard to just say one thing to look for on the label because there's different things to look for.
Right.
But for this activity, we're trying to help those children just even find where sodium, another word for salt, is located. And now the sugars. So.
Oh, did you want to, I just put that there.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that too. Thank you. Go ahead.
I had Chips Ahoy, and it's 8 grams of sugar for a third of this bag.
Right.
What do you think? Is that realistic for you, young man?
Probably not.
And I have the Mott's assorted fruit bits, I guess. There's 10 bags in here, and each one has 10 grams of sugar, so I could easily mow
through.
The
gummies or what?
Yeah, kind of like the gummies. I could mow through, I don't know, 5 or 6 bags. At least.
This is Entenmann's Frosted Donuts, so I'm assuming they're powdered. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm.
Frosted. Not powdered.
Are they frosted? Well, the number one, okay, maybe they're the chocolate ones. I don't know. Either way, there's 3 is a serving size. 3.
Oh, wow.
3.
Yeah.
Has 13 grams of sugars. So.
Yeah. For the milk dogs, it is 20 grams of sugar for one serving, which is 13 pieces.
There's 20 sodium, milligrams of sodium, and 21 sugars. And that's per quarter cup.
Those are the pretzel ones?
No, these are the almond.
Which are healthy, because
right?
The almond. Quarter
cup.
Tiny little protein.
Quarter cup.
Let's see, my
there's 7 servings in this place.
Sure it is.
I have something I have absolutely never seen before. Welch's filled licorice. And there are 2 servings in this bag. And there are 26 grams of sugar.
Mm-hmm. It's got to taste awesome.
In the half of the bag, right?
In half of the bag.
Right.
In half of the bag.
Sugar high right there.
Right.
I wonder if kids get energy.
Right. So, looking at labels, there's a lot of information. Some we don't really want to hear about, but it is there, and hopefully our youth will learn quickly to use our packages. Thank you. You may sit down.
Yes.
So, as we all know, a lot of children snack without parents' guidance on specifically. I'm just going to ask you. Before you eat a snack at home, do you go and ask someone else, or do you just find your own snack.
Just find my own snack.
Sure, of course, of course. And even young children help themselves sometimes to snacks. And so what we want to do is help them learn that what they choose makes a difference. And if they're really hungry, maybe eating the whole bag of Chips Ahoy cookies or the whole bag of Funyuns or something isn't necessarily a great idea. That having maybe an apple or a banana or something first and then eating a few of that other snack item would be a better choice. And we talk about how then they're, you know, it helps things like their muscles and they don't really care about high blood pressure at that point in their life. So that whole sodium discussion is not important to them. It is important to our adult learners, but not to you. They want to know if they're going to be the fastest soccer player, or they're going to want to know if their hair is going to be shiny, or, you know, things like that. So we try to key it in to things that they actually care about. But we're hoping that by letting them know some information, that they feel empowered by that, and that they feel like they can choose a better snack when they're home alone, or perhaps influence the grocery shopper in their household by saying what kinds of things they want to eat. But lots and lots of discussions, lots and lots of math involved, and hopefully a lot of fun too. Before I move into the next activity, all of you don't have to do it. I only need 5 volunteers to come over here with Nicole, and she's going to tell you what you have to do while I keep talking to the rest of you. So any 5, hopefully at least. Okay, there's 2. There's 4.
Okay. Yeah, but you're not going to win.
You better break it to them that it's
lots
of flavor. That makes a difference.
I can smell it. I kept smelling it.
Oh, they're going to tell you to smell it.
Yes.
Okay.
So while they're doing that, I'm going to let you know that these are the handouts that could possibly get provided to families either through the partner or from UW Extension. There's a handout for each lesson. So I just put out like a variety. Everybody has a different one, just so you can see an example that the topics. Yep, they're all different. Well, there's 6 different ones to look at. Right, right. See how recipes really attract. So if a parent gets this home, you can see how it's very friendly to read, and it's got the recipe, and it helps them set goals. I really like one. This is one of the things about this curriculum I like is the newsletters that go with it. And as a parent, I'm sure you can see how getting something like that home in a backpack. Would be much more fun than a lot of the stuff that comes home in a backpack.
Well, they'll see them all.
So they are setting up for an activity from the lesson called.
I mean, I'm not going to
very loud
leave
over there.
On there.
On this one, the healthier food.
I know.
The healthier food
demonstration. We can see it better.
Where it says we're going to teach the children about eat fewer high fat and high sugar foods. So they're doing specifically an activity that helps us look at the fat in foods. So the labeling, salty, sweet, this is one of our fat kinds of things. And they are using butter-flavored Crisco as a visual. And in just a minute, they're going to turn around. They're going to tell you what they had to measure out. Right?
Okay.
Are they ready?
Yeah.
Good.
So, everyone has their card.
What do you mean?
Still going on this one down there. So these are, I didn't hear. These are all randomly, they're kind of randomly set out. So this is not greatest to leadest.
It's the greatest. Since I am the greatest, I will lead off
with. First, and you're going to read the amount.
Station Zebra here has a, what kind is this? This would be a Subway 6-inch ham sandwich.
Okay.
And that has 1 teaspoon, 4.5 grams of fat.
Okay. And it's a sandwich without the mayo. So just like, no.
Without the mayo? Well,
yeah. No kidding. I'm getting mayo mustard, banana peppers, green peppers.
We have the
spinach.
Mayo, we gotta put more
in. Mayo would double that.
What is that? What is that signifying what you have?
So that is 1 teaspoon or 4.5 grams, and it is yummy.
But if it's spread out over the whole sandwich, then it's okay.
Well, yeah, and I can demonstrate that for you because that was my first
example.
He did
actually.
Okay. He doesn't look like so much.
Okay, let's see what we have further down.
I have the Wendy's single burger.
Okay.
Not with bacon like I had last night.
Or cheese.
Or cheese.
No cheese.
But 5 grams of fat, so
oh my goodness.
Yummy,
oh,
yummy,
wow.
Yummy.
Yummy, yummy.
No cheese.
Remember, fat is flavor.
Flavor.
That's why they both start with F,
okay.
Right?
I had the,
and I had to put the two skinniest guys right next to me.
Wendy's Ultimate Chicken Grill with 1 teaspoon or 7 grams of fat.
Wow.
Grilled chicken at 7 grams of fat?
Yeah.
Grilled chicken sandwich from Wendy's.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So it wasn't a fry.
No.
I don't see anything from KFC here.
I had a 1/4 pound bacon cheese grill burger from Dairy Queen, and there are 7 teaspoons of fat, which is 35 grams.
Ooh. Tilted up, yeah.
So
John, I bet the burger you had today had more than that.
Well, I just had a large order of Burger King fries, 540 calories, 5 teaspoons, 427 grams.
Not even chicken fries.
So the two of these they're standing right next to each other, so it would be very typical to order a sandwich and fries.
Ooh.
Wow.
Not anymore.
Good. Well, let's give them a round of applause.
I don't think you want to eat that.
That was
buttery. I can just smell it.
Yeah, it was butter.
Yeah. Okay, so
it's real butter. So a lot of adults, you know, jump to calories, and we can make the transition to heart disease and things. It's a little harder for youth, but we are an obesity prevention program, WNEP is. With things like the salty labels, I find it very helpful to mention to the children that we all have 32 teeth. They're the only teeth we're going to get. And if we eat a lot of sugary foods, you know, what happens to our teeth, and what does a dentist have to do? That's painful. You know, no one likes having a cavity filled or worse. So we try to relate these same topics we actually teach to adults. We just relate it to them all a little bit differently. I can relate to this. I mean, this is really something I think that hits home to a lot of us on the portion sizes we eat and how often what we eat and the choices that we make.
Well, obesity is epidemic according to my daughter who's a dietitian, and so your federal funding is never going to run out, I don't think.
Unfortunately, right? So yeah, that is the reality. So just to wrap it up, lots of information in this curriculum, lots of fun things that we can do with the children, the handouts that go home to families. So I thought I'd just see who can get closest. Again, with fast food, it's not just fast food at drive-thrus and things. It's things like macaroni and cheese cooks up pretty fast. Ramen noodles or any instant mix cooks up pretty fast. So are there any guesses? Let's just do a teenager. It would be easy for a child to come home, put some boiling water in this, eat it, throw it away, done. Right? And then they maybe have macaroni and cheese that night for dinner with their family. But let's just look at sodium to eat this package. Anyone want to guess?
320 grams.
We'll not do milligrams. Let's do percent daily value. How much of their percent?
23.1.
23.
13.
70. 50.
27.
27.
33.
33. Probably
because
he
maybe eats some.
So
73.
73? Yeah.
Okay, so one of these is 60% of our daily sodium.
Wow.
I love MSG.
And that's
I like to get my salt in fast.
Wow. That's a child eating that, right? So an adult who's on 2,000 calories.
They eat
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, so a child
is
eating.
Almost veggies in it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Dried up.
Oh, but they taste so good.
Yeah, they don't use any carrots.
Right.
How else are you going to be using carrots?
right.
I didn't see you mentioned peas or carrots.
What?
In our little, you know, trading session there. My name.
Yeah.
My favorite vegetable, you never said peas or carrots.
No. I like carrots. I don't like peas.
Yeah, my daughter eats carrots. I love them.
Just to be time sensitive, I'm going to ask if there's any questions you have for Terry or for Nicole and I about the nutrition education program in general, or about specific curriculums we use or audiences we spend time with. It's your shot to ask us.
Do you actually see any kind of positive changes or
impact?
You know, they come away with something that they that you've noticed that they use, because I would imagine you see some of the same people, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth, or whatever, or adults.
Yep. So this curriculum is taught in a series of six. So you're right. We see the same group for at least these six lessons, and we hear comments from them like, "I stopped eating so many of this," or "I changed and I'm bringing." And we ask teachers what they see happening with snacks and things. We also collect, so this curriculum has a pre and a post test that asks them things about the topics that we teach. And so we measure some of the changes, the behavioral changes, with this tool, but also by writing down things that they tell us. Terry has hundreds, probably, of stats and impact statements that she can share. But yes is the answer to the question, with both adults and with children.
And what strikes me just about this curriculum in particular is that 77% of teachers state that they've heard or seen positive health behavior change or heard comments from their students since taking the series. So that's sort of an extra layer of evaluation that our program does, because you know, that the self-report is one thing, right, for evaluation. People might want to please the educator, especially youth. But like hearing from the teacher, that's pretty meaningful for us. So we're going to continue to collect that data. And if you ever want more information, I can provide that to you based on any particular curriculum that we teach.
Thank you.
Thanks, ladies.
Thank you.
Thanks for the entertainment.
Sure. Yes, you were very entertaining.
All right. Next agenda item, educator update, program updates.
Okay. So May was what I would say kind of shows the breadth of some of the work that I do. We had 16 people complete Master Gardener Level 1 training, so that's the introductory training. And they are now in the process of trying to complete their 24 hours of volunteer time before October 1st, so they will become certified master gardeners. And they will join our group of, what we're saying, 186 in Kenosha and Racine, because it's a two-county program. So, and the master gardeners, of course, are out there very busy working in gardens and answering questions and all sorts of things. Then I've also worked a couple of times this past month with a commercial landscape maintenance company in helping them identify disease problems on lilacs that they weren't able to find what was going on with it. And then also as we were trying to work through why certain weeds were showing up in one of their clients' landscapes and to try to answer those questions for them. And then I also work fairly closely with the Kenosha County Parks, and I was asked to come up with a low maintenance design for a planting around the CCC statue out at Fox River Park. And so I finally got that done and got that shared with Matt Collins. And now they're looking for the funding in order to do that. And I was very purposeful in making sure, since it was all reds and yellows and those no pinks, no purples, so very kind of keep it along so it would fit with what I kind of envisioned CCC would do. So, and it's one of those landscapes that it's all perennials and ornamental grasses, so once it gets established, although occasionally you'll have weeds and stuff, the Parks Department will be able to mow it down every spring and everything will come back and be fine. feel for some of the things I do.
We just completed the AfterSchool Ambassadors for this year, which is Carthage College and Harborside Academy. They go into Wilson and Frank Elementary Schools for KUSD. And what they do is they help tutor after school. So they spend an hour there working with the after school program. We had 27 youth participate this year, and they put in 133 hours. And that is from late November to mid of April. So the other thing that I'm currently doing is getting geared up for the American Red Cross babysitting course. I'll be teaching three of those courses this summer. The June one's already full. We have two in July. The information's on the website, so if you know anybody 6th through 8th grade that is looking to take it, the information's there. They can register online or they can send the form into us. And there's only 10 students per class. We keep it kind of small so that way I can work with them really good one-on-one. The biggest thing that is coming down the pipeline next weekend is the 4-H summer camp. So this year's theme is Schmore Fun at Kenosha 4-H Summer Camp. So I just literally picked these up like an hour and a half ago. So these are the shirts for the counselors. The campers have kind of a darker green shirt. So camp is held at the YMCA Camp McLean in Burlington. There's 32 of us total going this year. Supervisor Decker's coming in and doing Ukrainian eggs for us. And they have a couple other 4-H volunteers that are coming in and teaching. We have the horticulturers, our master gardeners are coming in. They're doing, it had to do with salt and flour. So something Play-Doh. I have foods coming in, and then a couple other ones are coming in. Archery and rocketry are coming in. And then right after that, 2 weeks after that, we roll right into day camp, which is it's a one-day camp at Old Settlers Park, and that's for kindergarten through third graders to give them a chance to come and hang out. So that's what I'm into, or coming up to.
All right, I will report for Amy. Amy Grell, our Community Natural Resources and Economic Development Educator, is unable to attend tonight because she is en route to Green Bay, but they're probably there by now, with a group of local food industry leaders and some of our state specialists to look at the community kitchen in Algoma and in Green Bay. Many of you probably are aware that we've had feasibility studies done here in Kenosha to see about a public market. And that has now been narrowed down to just let's focus on a community kitchen or a commercial kitchen. And so that's the effort currently underway. She's also been and had just finished coordinating our county's household hazardous waste event on May 7th. We collected electronics, refrigerant waste, and household hazardous waste here at the county building. 631 vehicles came through and dropped off items to the event. It was, needless to say, a huge. In fact, at some point they had to turn people away with their TVs because, you know, you're all getting very flat panel televisions and you want to get rid of those big tubes and you don't know what to do with them. And so they ended up turning people away. We were causing a backup on Highway 50, wow. And it was just a mess. So now we have to think about what to do differently for next year. You know, I think it'll all cycle around, right? At some point, all those tube TVs are going to be gone. I still have my two. I'll be the last. My husband and I will be the last two to get rid of them. Keep that going. Okay. Tonight, Lee Presley, our agriculture educator, is attending a program in Racine. And she is, as many of you know, the educator that works in both counties, as do our nutrition educators. So she's splitting her time between Kenosha and Racine. I'll just keep going, Madam Chairman. Mm-hmm. The next item on the agenda is the Next Generation Cooperative Extension reorg. So again, for the new supervisors, that's the name given to the process that we're currently going through as Cooperative Extension statewide. I don't have a whole lot more to report. I can tell you that we do now know there are 8 work groups that have been formed to begin planning for the statewide reorganization. I'm actually serving on one of those, the County and Tribal Organizational Structure Planning, which I think is going to mean how are we going to partner with our counties, how will we be restructured with our county partners. And one of our nutrition educators, Fabiola Diaz, is serving on the program area, or the Family Living Program Area Planning Work Group. So there are those two of us from Kenosha and Racine have selected to serve on these. I would say stay tuned. I'm sure it's taking a lot longer than we thought it would, but it's in process. I want to remind you that in August, we're going to have two PDEC meetings. The first one will be our regular meeting on August 10th, and then we are going to have a joint meeting with Racine. We're going to hopefully by August 29th, we've got something to report. We're getting some moving some forward. We're going to meet here at the Kenosha County Center on August 29th. It's a Monday night. It's the fifth Monday of the month, so hopefully it doesn't conflict with any of your other committee meetings. And the Racine County Education Extension Committee will be meeting with us, so we'll do a joint meeting. Talk about the planning process. I want to announce that last month, for those of you here, you heard Amy mention that we have launched, or we're getting to launch, our sustainability team for Kenosha County. And we just launched last week Cool Choices. And so Cool Choices is for county employees to learn more about sustainable practices. So it's an online interactive experience that individuals had to sign up for in the form of teams. And so we have 17 teams across the county with 116 employees who are now engaged in this interactive experience. And in essence, what it's doing, it's forcing us to learn how to do sustainable practices at work and at home. So everything from, did you turn the water off this morning when you brushed your teeth, to I recycled something this afternoon, to I set my electronics to have automatic sleep modes so it powers down when I'm not using them. So all kinds of different activities. There are prizes, so people play these little cards once a day, and then at the end of the process we have prizes to give away for the teams who have accumulated the most points. We're combining this with lunch and learns and some opportunities to learn here in the county building. We're calling them, instead of TED Talks, you've all heard of the famous TED Talks, we're calling them PED Talks, because we're going to get you out there on the pedestrian walkway, and we're going to have a PED Talk. And Mark Melotic from the Division of Health is doing the one this month, and he's going to talk about ticks and mosquitoes and protecting yourself against nasty insects. Bite, scratch. I also want to share that as I facilitate Leadership Kenosha, we graduated 19 individuals in May, and I'm now accepting applications for the next year for Leadership Kenosha, so we hope to fill the program with 20 participants. And then lastly, I just want to share that our Youth as Resources wrapped up their year last week with a celebration to send off the seniors who are no longer in Youth as Resources, and we brought in four new youth, and they selected their Community Service Project of the Year. So all the youth who are granted YAR monies fill out a project book. I should have thought to bring those. And then the youth review each of the project books and they select the one project of the year. And it's named the Leonard and Patricia Johnson Award. Leonard Johnson was a county board supervisor, county board chairman here in Kenosha, and his wife was the principal at Armitage Academy when Armitage was still here. And they set up money for an endowment fund, and so this is a way to honor them with that award. And the group that received the award is Indian Trail High School, and they did a CDS prom. It's a prom that they hold for youth with physical and mental disabilities. So they are going to receive their award in September at the September YAR Board meeting. And that's all I have.
Okay. Got 10 more minutes. That's unusual.
I know. We're missing some educators. Like, you know, and we don't have us all here. And they're so trained to keep it on schedule. So you get a little bit of a break before you go over to your PDEC meeting.
So,
I
need a motion to adjourn.
I'll motion to
adjourn.
Second.
Okay. Motion to adjourn in a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Okay. We will adjourn into the other room and meet at 7. So.
10:04.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
So I can see the safe office. You don't have the guys.
I'm in our health program.